I really had a struggle with this text this week. When I first started looking at the lectionary lessons for this week, I really was attracted to those wonderful images at the end of this lesson, the image of the living water and the cracked cisterns. And it seemed to me to be wonderful images. But then when I started working with the text this week, and when I started looking at the whole context in which these images come to us in, I had a great deal of difficulty because Jeremiah's message is really a jarring one. I wonder when you heard Lee read that passage to you, and as you read along in the bulletin, what feelings did you hear coming from Jeremiah? And what feelings did hearing this message in that voice raise in you? What feelings did you hear?
Frustration.
Self-righteousness. Anger.
Horror.
Horror, yes. Sorrow. A lot of different emotions. Anger is the one that really came through to me. Jeremiah is an angry prophet, and he's preaching an angry message. And so these wonderful images of living water and cisterns are coming out in this harsh way. And it just made it very hard for me to figure out how to preach on. So what I'd like to do this morning is take us on a journey. I'd like to begin that journey by just visiting Jeremiah and trying to figure out where Jeremiah was coming from and why Jeremiah was feeling so angry when he talked about the living water. Jeremiah basically was coming from the place that the Western religions all come from. Western religion is based theologically on the idea of monotheism. There is only one God. And this is at the bedrock of all the Western religions, Judaism and Christianity and Islam. For instance, the central prayer of Judaism is the Shema, said every Sabbath in Jewish worship multiple times. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And the classic statement of Christian faith, the classic Orthodox statement of Christian faith, the Nicene Creed begins, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty." And they did not go on and talk about the feminine dimension of God, but "We believe in one God." And then observant Muslims pray five times a day facing Mecca. "There is but one God, and God's name is Allah." And so this conviction that there is but one God is at the center of Western religious tradition, and this is where Jeremiah was coming from. And there's a certain logic that flows out of this central conviction. If you believe that there is only one God, then it follows that there's only one truth. And if you believe that there's only one truth, then it follows that there's only one correct faith, the one that knows and teaches that truth. And if you believe that there's only one correct faith, well, then all the others must be somehow flawed. And so when Jeremiah looks at what the people are doing, he is horrified. He is angry. He sees so many of the farmers and the shepherds flirting with the fertility religions of their Canaanite neighbors, worshiping gods and goddesses like Baal. The reason they do this, they see their Canaanite neighbors have done this for generations, and they seem to have abundant enough harvests, and they've survived in that land, and maybe they're thinking it can't hurt, and maybe it'll help. But to Jeremiah's mind, this was a travesty. He says, "You have deserted the one true God, the God who brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You have deserted the God who brought us into this land flowing with milk and honey. You have deserted the fountain of living water. And you've invested in a religion that is bankrupt, a religion that is no better than a cracked cistern that leaks water like a sieve. And so when Jeremiah is offering us these images of cisterns and living water, we're hearing it in a very harsh and angry voice. But are there any other ways that we might work with these images and think about them? What if we just experiment with some different assumptions about what is central about our faith? For instance, the Eastern religions start from a different place than the Western religions. Hinduism believes that there is one God, but believes also in the manyness of God. In other words, God has many manifestations. And so there is no one manifestation of God. There are many manifestations of God. For instance, Hindus are perfectly comfortable thinking of Jesus as a manifestation of God. But what many of them cannot do is think of Jesus as an exclusive manifestation of God. To think in these terms about the manyness of God sets up a very different kind of logic. So if you believe that God is one but is present in many manifestations, then it follows that there are many different ways to express or to understand the truth about God. And if there are many different ways to understand truth, then there are many different pathways that can lead us to truth. And if there are many different pathways, then each one can be useful, but no one can be exclusive for everybody. But even this isn't the only place that we could stand and think about this image. Buddhism, for instance, offers a totally different point of view. It's interesting that one of the central images that Buddhist practice works with is the image of flowing water. There is, in Buddhist practice, the belief that there is a life stream flowing through each of us. And the purpose of our practice is not to try to resist the life stream, not to try to change its direction, not to try to slow down its course or speed up its course, and certainly not to try to alter the course of the stream. The goal is to be present to that life stream and to let it carry us, to go with the flow, like a fallen leaf that the stream carries from its source until it joins the great sea. And so from this perspective, if you look at the metaphors of living water and cisterns, it means something different altogether. I think Buddhists would say that we don't need to have an external cistern to hold the living water, because the source of living water is within us. It is flowing through us, and it's just a matter of relaxing into it and getting in touch with it. So these are three different ways to look at these images, starting from three different places, and there are many more. But the only way that really matters is the way that speaks to you. So what I'd like to finish with this morning is a time of guided visualization. I'd like to help you work with this image of living water. So if you'd make yourself really comfortable. This is not an invitation to go to sleep. But get comfortable in the pews and get in touch with your breathing. Feel yourself breathing in and breathing out. And maybe close your eyes if that helps you get in touch with yourself. I'd like you to imagine a source of living water. imagine a source of living water. What do you see? You maybe see a mountain stream so clean and refreshing and life-giving. Or maybe do you see a waterfall cascading over the rocks and filling the pool beneath it? Or maybe do you imagine a well or a spring gushing up from deep within the earth? Whatever it is you see when you imagine the living water, dwell on that image for a while. Now think about your thirstiness. Think about the anxiety you live with, the fear you carry, the hunger you feel, the pain you bear. And imagine yourself drinking from the living water. Taste how clean and cool and fresh it is. Feel how it soothes your hot face, how it quenches your thirst, how it satisfies your spirit. That living water is the life-giving Spirit of God, welling up from within your heart, because God's Spirit is in you, giving you strength and courage to live with hope and faith. As we close this meditation, I'd like us to think and meditate on what Jesus had to teach us about the living water in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "It will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Amen.